and welcome to our Veterans Ascend podcast. Today, we are honored to speak with Melissa St. Clair. Melissa is a U.S. Marine Corps spouse, a certified virtual expert, virtual assistant, and independent contractor with her company, Paper Chaser Biz, LLC. She works with busy solopreneurs, helping her clients get out from behind the desk and back into their business to focus on sales, service, and networking. Paper Chaser Biz LLC handles small business back office tasks such as client communications, internet research, project management, and assistance, and more remotely. Virtual professional serving as an ally and strategic partner to help small business growth. Melissa started Paper Chaser Biz out of her desire to maintain a professional career alongside her active duty U.S. Marine Corps service member, as needing flexible and portable employment, knowing permanent change of station orders and future moves were imminent. We're privileged to talk with Melissa today, hear about her service as a Marine Corps spouse and her journey to her company. We will also hear about virtual assistants and what they can do for your organization. Melissa, thank you so much for your time today. As we were just chatting, my nephew is a Marine, so very near and dear to my heart. So tell us about your service as a Marine Corps spouse. And I do call it service because I know that family members serve, spouses especially, serve right alongside our active duty and our veterans. So what was your biggest challenge? What would you want non-military to know about military spouses? And what is your biggest takeaway from serving that you brought forward? That's a lot, a big question.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Robin. And I look forward to sharing. So let's just dive right in. I married my Marine on a Thursday evening so we could get a quick honeymoon in before reporting to the first duty station.
Wow.
And his his retirement ceremony fell on our 29-year anniversary. So I think that was kind of the best gift ever. So lots to celebrate that day. And now that's been 2 years ago. So time flies. The biggest challenge about being a military spouse was reestablishing the household and then additionally my business with every permanent change of station, AKA move. So doing that due diligence before and after the move to recon for housing, we are child-free, so I did not have the added pressure of determining whether to homeschool or finding the right schools. But learning about each new community, and for me, after becoming an entrepreneur, setting up my business each time, which cost money and my time every time, connecting with the new business community, and also on the fun side, creating a list of cultural must-dos before we started preparing for the next move, and often doing all of this on my own because my service member was deployed. Then, my biggest takeaway is that military spouses are tremendously resilient. Right now, in the midst of COVID-19, a majority of the world is getting a taste of what being a military spouse is like. Uncertainty, restrictions, separations. A few weeks ago, I saw a meme going around that read something to the effect that some of you have never had the government cancel your plans, and it shows military spouses embrace the suck. Can I say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
it's very
forge ahead. So managing the household, the career, volunteering, community service, you know, struggling to find harmony, and maybe a blink of me time. So overall, resiliency is the buzzword for me.
You're absolutely on point. And well, first of all, congratulations on being a spouse for so long. That's a long time to have been a military spouse and all of those moves, because no doubt in those 29 years, you moved a lot. So,
we were separated a lot, right?
Yes. And you're right. I think the resilience of military spouses is something that employers take for granted when they see a military spouse resume or, you know, profile information and say, well, there's gaps in their work history. Well, there's reasons for that.
Right.
And they don't take into account that they may have only been at one duty station for a year. Or, you know,
yes.
By the time you get set up, you're been told you're moving again. You know, I was just talking to a military spouse the other day, and in 2 years, they've moved three times. So this is what, you know, non-military don't understand and really take, put aside in understanding the skills that a military spouse brings to an organization. So that's awesome. I'm glad you brought that up. So we talked about in your intro, your motivation somewhat to start a company was to accommodate all of the moves that you were facing and being able to maintain a career and maintain a business. So yes. Talk a little bit more about your motivation to start the company and why virtual assistants and what exactly does a virtual assistant do and how?
Sure. Well, I wanted to thrive professionally alongside my active duty service member and fought hard to remain employed. I had given up a job that I had for 4 years prior to marrying my Marine, and we started on our path. And then due to multiple sets of orders at one duty station, I was able to enjoy a brief extended period of employment. But after numerous deployments, and then we did 4 years of geographical bacheloring, where one of us lives in one state and one of us lives in the other, so I could remain employed, that became a little old. So I had to find a portable career to earn that consistent income so I could pack my bags and get on the train. And entrepreneurship came out of necessity because I wanted to maintain a professional career. And around 2006, I learned about the virtual assistant industry. And around that time, too, thoughts about how to use workers were beginning to shift toward considering remote work. So kind of early explorations of that kind of paradigm. So I married my management and executive office skills to the technology available at the time and launched my virtual assistant business. And I got my first client in an organization that I was already involved with. So that was a blessing. And I actually worked with that organization until they dissolved over 10 years later. So they took a chance on me and, you know, doing something differently, and it worked out for a nice long-standing professional relationship. So a virtual assistant provides online office support in the broad areas of administrative, creative, and or technology work. And typically, a virtual assistant operates as an independent contractor if they're interested in entrepreneurship and truly owning their own business, or they can become part of a team that is vetted by a virtual assistant agency. So they find the clients and kind of delegate that out or bid it out within the virtual assistant team.
Right. So a couple things you touched on, you said that you mentioned this earlier as well, that, you know, being able to take your career with you and the resilience of military spouses, but that really lends itself to, you know, being an entrepreneur and creating something that they can take with them. I love this virtual assistant idea. As a small business owner, I'll be exploring it myself. So that's totally awesome. So take us through the different services, Paper Chaser Biz, and I love your website and your logo. Very cute. Take us through the different services that Paper Chaser Biz provides. What are the top three tasks that someone should think about delegating to a virtual assistant, and why?
I discovered as my business launched that businesses or organizations needed a worker bee, and they may not need one all the time. So a virtual assistant with the flexibility may be a really great fit. My number one requested service is help with electronic newsletters. So clients know the importance of communication, but they sure don't want to fiddle with the formatting. So that's always fun for me. My particular areas of focus are operations. And in fact, I declared 2020 the year of the SOP, the standard operating procedure. So operations, communications, and administration. The Small Business Administration recently put out that more than one-third of small businesses currently outsource at least some of their operations. So people are utilizing, delegating, and you know, realizing that their time is precious, and there are folks that could help them out. The top three tasks to delegate to a virtual assistant are: one, tasks that don't require your expertise; two, tasks that are routine but a priority; and three, tasks that you simply hate to do. I'm sure.
I have a few of those, Melissa.
Right. You know, not everybody started their business to work with paper, but I did, virtually speaking. So, and the wins for the VA and or their client are, you know, delegating saves time and money and reduces your workload and allows both of the partners to work in their zone of genius and be productive and love what they're doing. A scenario that I always like to share is, ponder this: you just received an email with the subject line, project completed. You smile, breathe a sigh of relief, move on to your next sales call, pondering to yourself, what can I outsource next? So that email was from your virtual assistant, having completed a task you had left on the back burner far too long. So it's a good feeling on both sides.
It is, very much so. No, you're absolutely right. I sit here as a small business owner and, you know, starting out with my company, there are a lot of tasks that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, that I should be delegating. So again, as I mentioned, I'll be looking into your services, because I truly need to get some of this stuff off my plate. And as a small business owner, there are so many other things that I should be doing instead of those routine things. Not that they're not important, because clearly they need to be done.
Right.
Not to diminish the importance of those items, but there's a hierarchy of where those tasks fit into the business. So that's
exactly.
Awesome. I love that. And I think you mentioned earlier that now with COVID and how the world is changing, remote work is certainly in a better light, which makes it much easier for a small business owner to say, wow, I could give this administrative task or this operational task to a virtual assistant, because we're all working remote right now. So the worry of, do I need to have the person right next to me to make sure it gets done, you know, is kind of taken off the table. And you're right, that email that says task completed would be so so great to have in your inbox every day.
I was going to say, even as a virtual assistant, I subcontract with other virtual assistants to do some things for me. And it is the best feeling in the world to know that it's been done well, and I didn't have to really, you know, have hands on. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll relate it to, I mean, we just here at Veterans Ascend, we just were able to hire some veteran outreach advocates, and they're solely focused on a specific assignment responsibility, which I had been doing before. And now giving that to them, it feels so good that it's getting done.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, yes. So you're a military spouse. Obviously, we've talked about that. But tell us why being a virtual assistant is great for military spouses and why more businesses should hire military spouses.
Well, many military spouses work outside the home and are an important source of the family income. Being a virtual assistant is great for military spouses because of the ability to earn a consistent income, the portability and flexibility we need given the frequent moves, and the unique demands on our time as military spouses. I recently wrote an article titled, What's PCS and Pandemic Proof?, touting all the benefits of being a VA so it can survive through moves, even overseas, and this uncertain time of this pandemic. And honestly, I have been busier than ever during the time of COVID-19. you know, hashtag stay at home was already my MO, and VAs in my network who support online conferences and events are in high demand right now because live events are moving to online platforms.
Right.
So they're having to make a quick shift and do it seamlessly.
That's great.
Businesses, yeah. So I think businesses should hire military spouses because it is a population of highly motivated, well-educated, problem-solving people. A past military lifestyle survey conducted by Blue Star Families revealed that 79% of military spouses felt their status as a military spouse has a negative impact on the ability to pursue a career. And that's, you know, more than half.
Yeah, that's very sad. And what I think people don't realize, you know, how important military spouses are to our national security. I also read a statistic that said 53% of military families will decide whether or not their service member can stay in the military based on their spouse having the opportunity for employment because their family needs the income, as you talked about. So when you think about our military is already stretched very thin and, you know, the military spouse is having to make the decision and the service members having to make the decision for their families to no longer serve their country because their spouse can't get employed and not underemployed, but highly employed with their skills. It's pretty serious. And I don't think enough people think about that when they, you know, dismiss a military spouse's resume because there's a gap in their work history, or they can't figure out what you've done for the last 5 years as a stay-at-home parent, which comes with a lot of responsibility and skills. So, so it's great that you're out there. Is your the paper you talked about, is that on your website?
It is.
Awesome.
It is.
All right. Well, we'll give
it's in my blog.
Oh, good. All right. We'll give that email or that website address here in a second. But before we do that, let's give us your best advice for a military spouse still serving or about to make the transition back to civilian life with their service member.
Well, as military spouses, we are natural planners. So as soon as you know, you may be on the countdown to first civ div, start planning. The rule of thumb they always say is to follow either the vocation or the location. We chose the location and then we're dependent on the local economy for my husband's second career. Definitely attend more than one transition workshop. Reach out to others in your military network. There's always a VA. And now I'm talking about the Veterans Administration, not virtual assistant, but there's always
or
a VA.
There's a lot of VAs out there.
So there's always a Veterans Administration guru in your community. There's always that person, that go-to. And it's what you don't know that you don't know. And there are so many crucial decisions to be made, particularly around medical and financial, that you need to, you know, be educated about, and really kind of to tie it all in, communication is key. So communicating within your household unit and communicating with others in your network who have, you know, had this experience.
Absolutely. Solid advice. Most definitely. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for your service as a Marine Corps spouse and for all that you continue to do to advocate for military spouses and give them opportunities. We appreciate you sharing your journey, these great insights today, and we wish you much, much continued success. Listeners, for more information on Paper Chaser Biz, please visit their website at paperchaserbiz.com. Be sure to look for that paper that Melissa mentioned earlier about COVID and the pandemic and virtual work. And to learn more about Veterans Ascend or to sign up today, please visit our website at veteransascend.com. Thank you again, Melissa. Thank you, everyone. Stay safe out there.
Thank you so much.